Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out, Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, Z-Man.
What up, yo? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice One.
This your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
It's the Murder Master Music Show. Hip-hop is dead, but we don't resurrect it. You follow what lame stream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much shine, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relevability, and the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me, if you call that hip-hop. Niggas with hot shades and fluorescent flip-flop. We killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watched. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. Oh, and you don't
stop. It's the Murder Master Music Show. 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 It's the Murder Master Music Show.
What's up, everybody? Episode 313, Murder Master Music Show, only UGSforLife.com. And we got a special treat for you guys tonight. Those are my fellow Murder Dog readers who have been loyal to the magazine. You know exactly who this is. But anybody who knows anything about dope lyrics and substance in music, you definitely have to know my guest is tonight. He's actor and rapper, Slane. I'm going to bring him on right now without further ado. What's up, Slane?
Yo, what up?
Man, first and foremost.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah, I got you, man. First and foremost, welcome to the show. But I peeped your Facebook page, and I like what you said about the Cubs, man, because I'm originally from Chicago. This is huge. You know what I'm saying, for the city of Chicago, as you know, being from Boston, it's kind of like you're seeing the same thing over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, I'm seeing another. Boston, we went 86 years without a championship, you know, generations. My grandmother was born in 1918 and died in 1994. She never saw a Red Sox. The Red Sox won a title. So, I mean, but you have whole generations like that in Boston that never saw a title. And, you know, in Chicago. And then we finally won one, of course, in 2004. And now we won three since then. But, you know, but in Chicago, haven't won in 108 years, man. That's a long time. So it'll be cool to see Chicago get that. You gotta be rooting for the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. My father, he was born in 42, so he got to see him go to the World Series, but he was three. My mom was born in 46. She never saw it. My grandfather was born in 1910. He never got to see him win, you know what I'm saying, a World Series. So, yeah, man, generations, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. So, we're looking forward to get that going, you know, tomorrow. I think that's going to be a phenomenal series. But, man, outside of baseball, let's talk about rap for a minute. I heard you're dead. Tell everybody what's going on with this. Obviously, you're not. You're talking to us. You probably should
man,
be dead.
I definitely should be dead, man. But I'm not. I'm alive. And, you know, the name of the record, Slane is Dead, it basically, you know, after I, I was you know, hospitalized several times. I think like 12 times a year before I got sober, and you know, I think I got sober and I stopped doing drugs the day before I died. And that's actually the name of my album. But my album that comes out next year, this EP that I just dropped is called Slain Is Dead. And the reason why is because after, you know, I wrote everything when I was high. I never went on stage sober. I never wrote anything sober, like, my whole life. And, you know, I relapsed over and over that because I felt like I couldn't be creative. I couldn't write unless I was high or drunk. And, you know, when I got sober, I just felt like I had to give up music. Like, the two things were so closely intertwined, music and drugs and alcohol. And, you know, I just felt like I wasn't going to be able to do it anymore. You know, after I was sober for a little while, people started coming up to me on the street, you know, I put out The King of Everything Else when I was 6 months sober, but I recorded that whole record when I was, you know, really, like, running hard. And, you know, like, somebody came up to me and was like, man, are you still doing music? And in my head, dude was like, you know, when are we going to hear some new Slain? And in my head, I was like, Slain is dead, you know? Like, I just thought, like, I wasn't going to be able to do it again. And, you know, from that moment, though, like, it struck something in me. Like, I just kept going in. I had to change my hours in the studio. Instead of working overnight, I was going in the morning and working through the day. And, like, if I got too frustrated, I would just left. And, like, you know, I would lay down songs and throw the headphones and storm out of the studio and think it sucks. And then I'd listen back to it, and it was dope. You know, like, it was just like, it was a mind. Can I swear, or are we on the radio?
Yeah, no, you can fuck it, man. You can say, yeah, shit, whatever.
Yeah. So
the whole car,
it was like
seven words, you know?
Yeah, it was like, it was a mind fuck, man. So, you know, but I worked through it. And,
yeah.
And when I looked up, I had four projects ready. And Slain Is Dead is the first one. So I started with the EP. And then the new La Coca Nostra album comes out in 10 days, or maybe 11 days or 12 days, on November 4th. It's called To Thine Own Self Be True.
Oh,
so,
we
got to
get all you guys on the show for that, for sure. But you guys are getting ready to do a big tour, aren't you?
Yeah, we just did Canada, and we head out. We actually head out the day the album comes out to Europe, and we got a couple weeks out there on tour. So, you know,
safe
it's really
Europe.
It's really.
I was just gonna say the process of doing this sober. You know, what I'm saying, did you have to find yourself first? But once you did find yourself, was it an easy process, or is it still difficult?
No, it's gotten a lot. It's, you know, I think a lot of it was a confidence issue. As far as, look, man, if you do something the same way for 20 years, forget about drugs and alcohol. If you do anything, if you ride a bike the same way, or you skateboard the same way, or you play basketball the same way, or whatever it is, you do it the same way, and then something forces you to change the way that you do it, it's going to be difficult because you do it second nature. Like, you know what I'm saying? So just getting the confidence to do it a different way, you know, it took some time, man. But I really feel like the new stuff is sharper than anything I've ever put out in my career. You know, I think, like, the EP is a glimpse at that, but you're going to hear it on the La Coca record. You're going to hear it on my solo record. And I got another project too that I haven't announced yet, but I will. But you know, you're gonna hear it on all that shit, man. And it's like, it's a reinvention it's a reinvention artistically, but it's still, you know, I've lived the same life. I'm talking about the same shit, but it's from a different perspective. And I almost feel like there's more depth to it. And there's, you know, there's just like, it's coming out the other side of something and being stronger than ever. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's good, man. I feel real happy and proud of the new music I got.
I'm happy and proud for you too, man, because, you know, being sober is not an easy thing. How long have you been sober now, Sling?
I'm coming up on 1,000 days, man. I got this thing in my phone that counts it. I'm like a month away from having 1,000 days. So it's actually on the 3rd, I will have 32 months. So it's a little over 2.5 years.
Congratulations. That's huge. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, people don't understand how hard it is to survive that. So many don't survive that. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when I was smoking Wiki Sticks in Chicago with, you know, doing crazy shit, acid, all that fucking shit. I was able to get out of it, but so many of my friends, man, they're dead or they're still fucked up on the shit. It's horrible. Yeah. It ruins families and destroys lives, man. So for you to come out of that hell and to be doing what you're doing now, man, nothing but props to you, man. Real talk.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I lost a lot of people over the years, man. And like you said, it ruins families, it ruins lives. And there's so many different ways to die from addiction. You know what I mean? It's like the suicides, overdoses, murders. You know what I'm saying? And it's like
wrong place, wrong
car
time.
Accidents. Yeah, there's a million different ways that, you know, drugs and alcohol kill us. And but, you know, for a lot of people, it also just takes everything you have before it kills you. And that's where I was at. Like, it was taking everything that I had and everything I cared about. And, you know, but it's a beautiful thing to come out the other side, man, because it's like, you know, it's like surviving a train wreck. You know what I mean? It's like I feel grateful for life every day. I feel rededicated to my craft. And, you know, I feel like my relationships with being a father and all the friendships in my life, like, I just feel like a grateful spirit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's great to have music to express all these different kind of range of emotions and different perspective. And I feel like I rapped about addiction and I rapped about the streets and addiction and my experience with it for so long while I was in it, and then even when I got out of the street and was, like, you know, touring and making music and doing movies and stuff like that, I still brought the street, all the habits that I had with me, and they were killing me. And, you know, like, and I'm thinking, like, I made it out, but I didn't make it out because that shit was still dragging me back down. And, you know, to be able to look at it all with a clear head and, you know, kind of delve back into some of those things and show people. I feel like this new music is the completion of the story that I've been telling for all these years through all these different albums. And it shows people, like, you can come out the other side. And, you know, that's why I felt like it's really important to do this kind of chapter of the book. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, hell yeah. Because, you know, a lot of your fans, I imagine, have gone through or going through the same things that you've been through. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing right there. Yeah, that's a positive thing. You got this, you know, Lakoka Nostra project coming up. Man, what's it like to be, you know what I'm saying, working with that caliber level of MC just like yourself on so many fronts? You know what I'm saying, Everlast, Ill Bill, you got all these guys coming together with these killer fucking lyrics. Is it a challenge? Do you feel like, man, I gotta really bring my A game because these guys are definitely gonna bring theirs?
Yeah, well, I think, like, coming up when Lakoka started, it was me, Everlast, Danny Boy, Lethal, Ill Bill, Lefty, and, you know, at the time, you know, like, I had grown up with the first concert I ever went to was a House of Pain Cypress Hill concert when I was 16 years old. And, you know, those guys were my heroes. And, you know, I had a ton of respect for Ill Bill as a lyricist. And just, you know, the Nonfiction, The Future Is Now record is one of the great, you know, hip-hop records to me. It's an iconic New York record. It's an iconic underground independent record. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a great album. And, you know, to come up as, like, somebody who was semi-unknown at the time and be, like, the young dude in the crew that got to learn from these legendary dudes, legendary MCs, that was something special. And, you know, I think you can actually hear the difference, like, from my first mixtapes and A Brand You Can Trust to how much I progressed over the years. And a lot of that was due to just being around that caliber of MCs. You know, Everlast since moved on from the group, and he's doing his own thing. So now, you know, I get to carry that torch with Bill, with the group. And, you know, I feel like, you know, the Masters of the Dark Gods album.
Oh, Everlast left. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
he's doing his
left
own thing now.
This is actually our second record without him. And
wow.
But, yeah, man.
I need to be more in tune with what Coconuts was doing, obviously.
but,
so this is your second record without him.
We're all still cool.
You still work with him at all?
Yes,
like,
I do. And
tracks together and stuff.
That's my boy, man. So, you know, he had to walk away for some other reasons, and he's just doing his solo stuff. But, you know, this is the second record we've done without him, and it's a banger, man. I'm real proud of it. The last record we did is actually my favorite Lococo record, the Masters of the Dark Arts record. And, like I said, this one is real grown and mature, man. It's got a lot of weight to it because Bill was going through some shit at the same time I was, you know, going through my shit, hitting my bottom and coming out and going through all these life changes, man. And we both kind of were at the same time. So this record is real heavy. To Thine Own Self Be True. It's a dope record, man. I'm proud of it.
I'll tell you what, you know, I was born in 78, so, you know, I'm a little bit of an older guy for those of the people listening, but my first exposure to the city of Boston, other than, of course, you know, Larry Bird and the Celtics, you know, I would have to say would be a little show called St. Elsewhere. You remember that show?
Vaguely, I remember it. I don't think I ever really watched it.
Oh man, that was a great show. That was a good hospital show. It was filmed in Boston, and it basically portrayed Boston as this really fucked up crime area. And I thought, oh, that's just like Chicago. You know what I'm saying? It was one of those early '80s sitcoms that dealt with all the, you know, drugs, AIDS, crime, shit that most sitcoms don't fuck with today. You know, and I always remember that it came out of Boston. I was like, wow, that's a trip. You know, but yeah, Boston is how is Boston in 2016 versus, you know, the late '80s, early '90s?
Well,
what's
changed a lot, man. When I was growing up here, and I'll tell you what, I travel all around the country, obviously doing music, and I live in LA and Boston. I've lived in New York, and the same thing is happening to all the major cities in America. There's a lot of gentrification, which means a lot of the original people are shipped out or can't afford to live there anymore. Culture is stripped, and there's a lot of yuppies, and you know. It's just really changed a lot of all the cities. I think New York is like that. I know LA is like that too. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure Chicago is like that too, man. I think it's an American kind of phenom now. I think, sadly enough, a lot of things are, you know, I wake up on the tour bus anywhere in the country and you know, it's Starbucks, McDonald's, Walmart, you know, TGI Fridays, Staples, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same thing everywhere you look. There's nothing that distinguishes one place from the next anymore. So, you know, that's kind of my
view corporation.
But Boston is still a great city. It's but that's how it's changed through the years, I think. That being said, Boston, and I've been... We have like our own film genre now, like between like Mystic River, Gone Baby Gone, The Town, like which I happen to be in those two, and The Departed and Good Will Hunting, and you know, we have like kind of this crime noir lane of film here, man, which is really cool to see. There is a lot of, we have our own accent, we have our own kind of culture, and there's a lot of things here that make Boston really unique. And, you know, I obviously rap about a lot of that stuff in my music.
Yeah, definitely a city with a lot of heart, that's for sure. Yeah, and you know, of course, you mentioned a lot of great flicks. You're an actor. You were in some of those flicks. How did you meet Ben Affleck? Have you known him for a while, or what's the deal with him?
No, so how that happened is, you know, I had just linked up with the guys in Lococa, and Lethal had signed me to a pre-production deal. I was hustling my mixtapes in the street in Boston. I had started to get like a little buzz, and but you know, I was. Due to some unfortunate circumstances, I was squatting in this warehouse. I had no hot water, electricity. And, you know, the announcement came that La Coca Nostra was getting together and who was in the group. And the Boston Herald did a big story about it. And, you know, I was charging my cell phone up at the after-hours spot. I would drink there all night, overnight. And I that particular morning, I left about 7 a.m. and I got the newspapers off the rack at the gas station. I went into the warehouse that I was squatting in, and I read the article, and I couldn't believe I was in the paper, and I passed out, and I woke up in the afternoon, and I had all these missed phone calls, and it was Ben Affleck and his people trying to get in touch with me, and so I went in, and I auditioned for Gone Baby Gone, and they brought me in about five more times after that, and finally they offered me the role, and the rest is kind of history after that. Started touring the world with La Coca, and Gone Baby Gone came out. Then Ben put me in The Town, and my life changed pretty much on that day.
The last 10 years has been a hell of a fucking ride for you. I mean, to go from, squatting, you know, had nowhere to live, you know what I'm saying, hooked on drugs. Next thing you know, you're in these blockbuster Hollywood movies. You're traveling the globe with the Everlast and Danny Boy, you know, guys you grew up listening to. So, I mean, that's crazy. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, man.
And you're still doing your thing.
Ride,
here you are sober. Man, hats off to you, brother. Hats off, man. As far as film goes, what do you got coming up this year? I know you were just in the movie with The Rock and
with The Rock and Kevin Hart. I had a quick little scene in that. That was a lot of fun, actually. My son's a big wrestling fan and he likes The Rock, so I had a little opportunity to do like a little cameo in that joint, so I jumped in that. That was fun. And I've been doing some indie stuff, man. I did this movie called Let Me Make You a Martyr with Marilyn Manson and Mark Boone Jr. and Nico Nicotera. Those guys all were in Sons of Anarchy. It's really like this art house, like low budget, crazy story, dude. And, you know, I think that it's working the independent film circuit now. Hopefully it gets some distro, but it's a dope movie. I went and saw it at the Fantasia Film Festival in Montreal a few months back. It's amazing. And then I just did this joint for Netflix, the Netflix original called Wheelman. That'll come out next year. And, you know, I'm just figuring out the next stuff that I'm going to do, man. Just trying to do all this work a day at a time. Right now I'm focusing on getting this music out. And, you know, once the year turns, I'll probably, you know, start trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the next acting gig. And, you know, just trying to enjoy life one day at a time.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, like you said, the Rock, and what was it like working with The Rock? What's he like as a person?
You know, I didn't get to know him as a person. I worked only with him for like 3 days. That's the shortest I've ever really worked on a movie. Like if you're on a movie for 13 weeks, like I was with The Town or whatever, it's a different thing. When you're just coming in to do a scene like that, it's a little shorter stay. But he was super cool to me, and you know. he had heard a little bit about my story and who I was, and he was just real cool to me, man. He's a fan of hip hop music. I don't think he had heard of my stuff prior to doing the movie, but he was a real good dude to me, and it was cool working on that for sure.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. Well, what do you enjoy better, man? Do you enjoy, or can you pick, rapping or acting?
I enjoy acting better, man, but I have to do music. So, you know, like, I have to mentally and spiritually, like, I just have to do music. It's my coping mechanism. So, like, it's the way that I am able to see the world. It's the way that, I mean, it's the way that I'm able to put the world in perspective. You know what I mean? Like, it's I can make everything kind of fit through music. Acting is a lot more fun because I don't have to be myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's much less vulnerable. It's still storytelling, which is what I'm in it for anyways, but it's what I'm in music for too, you know? But with the acting, it's less personal. With the music, I put all my heart into it, my life, uncomfortable shit into it that, you know, that I only want to talk about through music, you know what I mean? They're two different things, but they also kind of fit into the same storytelling box, and I really love doing both of them, so I wouldn't pick.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Let's go to this song, Slang Is Dead, and then we'll come back and close out this interview. Hell of an interview. I really appreciate you coming on the show. If you can, intro this song for us.
This is a title track from my EP. It's called Slain Is Dead. Check it out.
I chewed a hole in my soul and I was still starving. This fucking demon in my head's like a drill sergeant. Fuck the DP, dog, you need a real album. I deal with a Malcolm in the pill problem. Again, to go and get your face off the milk carton you've been on since you've been starting. All that sobriety shit, dieting, trying to quit, fighting and hiding out from society sick. Come back, potting your head to the side and the slick. So exciting when all the girls are riding your dick. Look what you're riding, it's falling off a cliff. You know the cure for that, though, go get an 8-ball and a fifth. Pour the Jamie lighter smoke, take a haul and a sniff. Birth with the curse and curse the call of the gift. Fuck the bullshit, talking all this positiveness. Your heart's in the right place, we'll give you jaws an assist. But let's get back to this madness, back to this money, and back to these habits that I have to become me. I can almost feel the fire burning back in my stomach. Heard the whispers of the public, they had practically hung me. They said I had a good run, I would fly some, then crash and burn. They say the good die young. The thought of it made him bang his head. It's a word on the street, it's spread. The slain is dead. It's been so long, you seen my face. Will I come back to plead my case? When am I gone? Time comes to make a leap of faith. There's no way to keep the secret safe. The slain is dead. Slain is dead. Slain is dead. Face the slain is dead. So many dark days, they eruption my patience. I like to buy ways, but I'm stuck in a matrix. See, I've been out of luck, so corrupted and faceless. And now without a bark, I'm like, fuck it, I hate this. So many close calls, all these brushes with greatness. We're not enough to bow my spaceship. Not enough to persuade the gods right fates where they sit. As they parade, the dogs roar off they clip. And as I fell from grace, through the winds of sin, I had to go and find my wings again. While the angel of death goes and sings a hymn. As he strangled my breath, tore me limb from limb. That shit that I wrote, I walk with the devil, talking to God. Murder stories in this purgatory, coughing up blood. But I will not break, I will not fall. This is just another rhyme that I wrote on my wall. It's been so long, you've seen my face. Will I come back to plead my case? When am I gone? Time comes to make.
right here. Man, it's lyrics, lyrics and bars, man. And, you know what I'm saying, you're telling a story, you know what I'm saying, about what you've been through. I got my co-host on the line, Mac J, you're on the line with Slane.
What's going on, Slane? How you doing, brother?
Chilling, man. What's good?
Man, sorry, I'm a little late. One of my homeboys had ran out of gas. I had to go save him real quick.
No,
stuck on the road.
That always,
I was like, damn, man, I'm doing a show, but I got to come get you, man. You stuck on the highway.
Yeah, you can't leave. You
oh,
can't
damn,
leave
you jumped off the air to go and help your boy out? That's a good friend, man.
Yeah, he was stuck on the highway.
Yeah.
And he better be glad I had just got gas for the lawnmower. I wouldn't have had no gas here. I'd have to go straight to the gas station and all that, but I just put gas in the gas can. So
I'll tell you what, people always tell me, man, you got a lot of good friends. I got a lot of good friends, and I tell them, you know how you get a lot of good friends? You be a good friend. That's where
yeah,
you
exactly.
get a lot of good friends.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, when you when you became sober and you got off the dope and everything, did you have to, not fuck with certain people anymore because they were kind of like triggers to the drugs? I mean, how did that all work out?
I don't believe in the triggers, man. I had to change some habits, but it all had to do with me, man. You know, so, like, I'm still friends with everybody I was friends with before. I don't go to, like, after parties at 2 in the morning. I might go to the bar or the club or whatever for a little while. I don't drink. I might smoke some cigarettes or have some coffee and shit. But I don't hang out, like, after 2 in the morning. Because I don't really need to be somewhere where everyone's doing blow and stuff like that, man. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just keep it to myself. And 9 times out of 10, anyways, I'm in bed, like, you know, 11:30 midnight now, and I'm up early in the morning and you know, try to be
that's
present for my
me.
Son and his life and early in the morning and try to be healthy and start working out for the first time. So, you know, once I got sober, lifting weights, I've been doing that for about 2.5 years. And, you know, it's a different kind of life. I go to the studio during the daytime. And but it all had to do with me. There was nobody making me do what I did. I mean, I grew up in a neighborhood where it was an epidemic, and you know, in Boston in general, it's a lot of drugs, and you know, but my way out, you know, wasn't that I had to cut everybody off and I'm hiding away from everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Mm-hmm.
I work like my solution was spiritual, so I'm good anywhere that God is. You know what I'm saying?
You're just trying,
that's basically
a positive, straight, narrow path, man. And then, man, but hats off to you on that, because like we were talking about earlier, it's so hard to do. Many people don't come back from that. We got a caller, Slane. This homie Sin from France. What's up, Sin?
What's up, Scott? Mike J, what's up? Slane.
What's going on, Sam?
Yeah, I'm fine. yes, Slane, tell us about your first tape, The White Man is the Devil, Volume 1, and the meaning behind it.
The first tape?
The meaning behind it was basically... I was talking about cocaine, so it was like cocaine is the devil. But I knew if I said the white man is the devil that it was going to cause a lot of controversy at the time. You know, if I just called it the mixtape, I don't think anybody would have listened to it. You know what I'm saying? So I was trying to get people to listen to it. I pressed up 50 copies of that. I gave 10 copies each to 5 different drug dealers, and if you bought a bag of coke, you bought a 40, it cost $50. You had to take the CD, otherwise you couldn't have the coke. So I sold 13,000 CDs like that. And it worked. People got pissed off about the title. People listened to it while they were up coked out all night and talked about it. And that's what the goal was. And, you know, shortly after that, I had a career.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
That's dope.
Yeah, and
literally.
And as a hardcore rapper, you would go good with Isham or Gangsta Nip or DJ Paul collaboration. Is it in your plan in the future to collaborate with some people with them?
Would you work with Isham
or
Gangsta Nip or DJ Paul?
Or Gangsta Nip or DJ Paul of 36 Mafia?
Man, I'd be interested in working with anyone who I think is dope that wants to collaborate, man, you know? That stuff always has to happen organically. I don't really chase nobody to work with, and you know, but if your paths cross or like it happens organically somehow, like I love collaborating with other people, man. So
yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just you know, it's, I feel like it's always bad form to kind of make a reach. You know what I'm saying? Like I just feel like
mm-hmm.
when it's supposed to happen, like it kind of. The universe makes it happen. And, you know, I've gotten to work with a lot of people that I really respect and admire. And I'm sure I'll work with more in the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. But you're hitting the road overseas starting November 5th, I believe. You guys are going to be in Spain. And then it's going to end in Greece. You're hitting everywhere over there. Spain, Norway, Finland, Sweden, Switzerland, Germany. That's going to be a heck of a tour. What about stateside? Are you guys going to be doing something here stateside?
I think it'll be probably in once a year turns, man. We don't have anything booked right now for the States because there was a conflict with some other stuff that we had booked, that other guys in the group had booked. So I think you're probably looking at 2017 in the States.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the homie Sidney called in France.
Next year, man.
You're going to be in France on the 16th, so Sin, if you're listening, if you can make it to Paris, go check him out. You know what I'm saying? And as far as Yolo Coco Nostra, you guys are welcome on the show anytime. We love to do a roundtable. We like to do roundtable shows, man, where we bring on people. Like we did a Rap A Lot roundtable. We had a bunch of Rap A Lot Records legends. We did a roundtable where we had Spice One, Freeway Ricky Ross, and a bunch of people all just chopping it up about the industry and stuff. And one of the things we always talk about, I want to ask you this before you go, is substance and talent is slowly being sucked out of the rap game, or at least the mainstream rap game. Like these mumble rappers and things like that. Now, being somebody that is very lyrical, that takes his rhymes serious, that puts substance and heart into your music, how does it make you feel to see the art form being dumbed down the way it's being dumbed down and promoted the way it is?
Well, I think it's happening across the board in all entertainment right now. It's no talent is the new talent, you know, like...
Right.
All these reality TV shows, you know, the Jersey Shore type of shows. And I mean, it's just a way, the networks find a way to pay people $5,000 for the season or something. And instead of paying actors, you know, a lot of money per episode, they're trying to increase their own bottom line. So they just get people drunk, they make an ass out of themselves, and they tape it, and people eat it up. So
I know you've been looking at it like that.
I think the hip hop game is the same way, man. It's if you own especially with the way the music business has been shrunken down in the internet era. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's much harder to find a talented artist who is original and represents something bigger than themselves, and it's a pain in the ass to deal with them. Why would you want to deal with them when it's so much easier to just find somebody that has an image and give them a backstory and have other talented people write for them, or just make it so that the sound is, it takes no talent, like fucking make it all, you know, digitized vocal, you know, vocoder shit or whatever you call the auto tune, you know, make it all like that. And then you never have to find anyone talented. You could just generate the music the way that you want, and then it makes it so they can sign 18-year-old kids, take complete advantage of them, sell them a dream,
yep.
and then rape the whole system like that. That's what they do, because why would you want to take somebody who knows what's going on, who has something to say, and who's extremely talented, who has some leverage and a fan base? Why would you want that? Why would you want to pay that guy when you could just pay some idiot and fucking take
yeah.
all his money? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what it is. That's what you're seeing. There's still a lot of incredible hip-hop music. You just got to look underground for it. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't give a
yeah,
fuck.
Me and Prince say that all the time, man. Like, we've been hearing good music all the time, man. You know what I'm saying?
It's just
different. You have to look for it in different places than what's being presented to you. You know what I'm saying? You actually got to go out and look for the good music. It be right in your face all the time, too.
It's the same thing with movies, man. You know, the best movies aren't the big blockbuster fucking action hero movies. You know, and those have their place. Those are cool, too. But, you know, like the really good independent movies, you got to dig for those, man. You got to look for them. And, you know, that's just the way it is, man, because, we're at the next we're at like phase five of this fucking dumbing down of society, and we all got tracking devices we're walking around with. We all are 71% of the country's on some sort of prescription drug, whether it's fucking Wellbutrin or Oxycontin or whatever the fuck it is. Like, and you know, the next thing, they're trying to take our guns, so they float all this bullshit material, you know, fake fucking videos of people getting shot, and like, you know, mass shootings, they promote it with the media. They're trying to take the guns away next. So, I mean, this is part of a plan, man. They have dumbed us down. They have fucking kept us on drugs and fucking, you know, this is the zombification of not just America, of the world. Like, the whole, look at the fucking presidential race.
Oh, yeah.
It's
man.
A circus. It's all a
it's
circus.
It's a fucking farce. Yeah.
We're just being pacified and entertained and while they're running this is all running the interference, you know? And it goes across the board. But listen, my tracking device, I mean, my cell phone is, my battery's dying, so I gotta go.
Hey, Flame.
It's all good, man. That's how it be.
I wanna thank you for coming on the show. And before you go, could you give us a drop real quick? The name of the show is the Murder Master Music Show.
What up? This is Slane, La Coca Nostra. And right now you're listening to the Murder Master Music Show. Peace.
Hey, thank you,
right on,
Flame.
Homie.
Much appreciation,
right,
man.
Good night. Thank you.
You too.
Peace.
That was the homie.
Hey, Prez, I'm glad he said that, because I wasn't even looking at it like that, like with the reality shows and shit. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Basically, instead of paying trained actors to make shows like what we used to be able to see, shows and paying people for their ideas and concepts on different things that we could watch. They just, like he said, you find a bunch of idiots. You pay them a good amount of money to where it's way more than what they getting being idiots. And then you just you get them drunk and you give them everything. You put them in certain situations. You get them drunk. You get them fucked up, and they just fight and do dumb shit. And then they make millions off of that shit. Billions.
Millions. And another thing I like that he brought up too. You know what I'm saying, was the fact, you know, you look at the reality television, MTV is the, it was supposed to be the network.
The music television. Yeah.
Yeah, that was supposed to help music, but what did it do? It created the reality television genre. It created that whole scene. So the very thing that started music destroyed it. Same thing with rap. You got to look at it like this. Rap came out, it was all conscience and all substance. It was the voice in the streets. So what do? They infiltrated it, and they're trying to destroy it. You know, fortunately, good music lives in the underground, as Slane said, and as we always say here on the show. But the mainstream rap, it's a fucking joke. It's a mockery.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
People, when you say you fuck with the rap game, they kind of look at you suspect now. I almost got to say, don't be looking at me like that, motherfucker.
Right, because I ain't listening to none of that shit. You right, Prez, just what you just said. Like, if somebody asks you what kind of music you listen to, you tell it. And I don't like saying old school hip-hop, but I feel good to say it sometimes now because they know it sure ain't the shit that I'm listening to right now. And old school don't necessarily mean it was old. It just, to me, shit that's older than what the fuck y'all listening to right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because
people are actually like, well, what kind of music you get into? Hip-hop. And then they think you listening to that mumble shit because you said hip-hop. But that ain't fucking hip-hop. Not in my eyes.
No. No, definitely. You know, I definitely, you know what I'm saying, I definitely got to say this was a hell of a show that we had. Very, very fortunate to have Slane call in. Because, you know, we talked about, you know, I mean, the man, I don't know, you were gone at the time. I don't know if you heard. He was a squatter. He was staying in a warehouse or something somewhere. You know, basically, he was homeless. He was addicted to drugs. And that was at the time when Ben Affleck called him to be in a movie. So it goes to show you that no matter how far, I mean, this guy was at the brink of the end of it all pretty much. And look at him now. You know, he's 1,000 years sober. He starred in about, you know, 5 or 6 movies, all kinds of different actors. He's putting out music. He's touring all over the world. Most importantly, he's here for his kids. So
exactly.
Shout out to Slane.
Tomorrow. Salute to Slane, man.
We got DJ Paul, you know what I'm saying, to make his return to the Murder Mass Music Show. It was fun to have DJ Paul on the show. We had some legendary episodes with him. Even the one with him on the bus where he couldn't find a connection. He kept trying to find a connection.
Right.
We didn't even get to have him on for more than a minute at a time, but that was still, you know, it is what it is. But we're lucky to have him back tomorrow. Then we're going to stay in Memphis on Friday. We're going to bring legendary Al Capone back to the show. He's got a new vodka that he's putting out there. Tonight on Monday.
I tried to run into Al Capone a couple weeks ago. He was here. And I missed the fucking thing that they was at for the Blues Museum or whatever.
I got home too late for it. Tonight we have a guy that's on the wagon and sober. And then Friday we're going to have a guy that's promoting his brand new liquor brand. Shout out to Al Capone. You know, saying we support Alcoholics Anonymous, but we also support alcoholics. So if you want to drink and get drunk, the best
just drink responsibly. Ain't that what they say?
Drink responsibly. That's
right.
Don't drink
I drank 2 beers. Yeah, I drank 2 beers.
Two beers is responsible enough. That's fine. but hell of a show. Hell of a show, man. We got the Cubs going to the World Series tomorrow.
Goddamn right, you know what I'm saying? I've been talking all shit to these cocksuckers today, Prez. You know they hate me right now.
Of course.
I put my Cubs gloves on at work and just start scratching my hand. I'm like, my hand itching, just to make them look at the C, the red C on my palm. My hand is itching. Yeah, you cocksuckers, we made it.
Oh, and for everybody that ordered shirts, you know what I'm saying, much appreciation. I actually placed another order today, but they're not going to press for a few more days, so you still got a couple more days to get your orders in. After that, adios, I'm pulling the plug. That's it for this run. We might do another run in the future. We'll see.
All right, might see them later on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, just be ready for them when we pop them out there.
Promotion.
Or like that.
It was about promotion. It wasn't about, you know what I'm saying, something. I mean, we ain't starting a fucking clothing line or, you know what I'm saying, anything like that.
And it's a show, kind of look at it like this, too, Prez. Right, kind of showing Scratch a little love, too, because, shit, to get his shit out there, too, man. Like, them shirts look, for you motherfuckers that haven't seen them or you interested in getting one but not really sure, these shirts is official. They look good. They crispy. They feel right. They not shrinky-ass type. Like, they some nice fucking T-shirts, man. Like, for real, I wish we could be on some payola for a Prez. These can be in fucking Walmart or something, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how good they look and how good they
maybe
feel.
Maybe Spencer's. Or definitely record stores. Definitely record stores.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you know,
Walmart probably wouldn't
fuck with too. I want to say is most of the people buying them are people outside of the camp, you know what I'm saying? People inside the camp, they really... you know, they ain't really on that support level like they claim to be.
Yeah,
okay,
they missing
I'm gonna
out, man.
Shirt tomorrow, homie. I'm going to get a shirt tomorrow, and then, you know, tomorrow comes and they never get it. But that's cool because that leaves more shirts for the people that want them. So shout out to, matter of fact, I had a guy tonight order 2 4Xs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He didn't order one.
And if you, and for
three,
real, if you like to wear black T-shirts with red on them, these are the perfect ones to have. That logo pops so hard, man. Everywhere, well, I've been wearing mine, and everywhere I go, motherfuckers looking right at my shirt, man. Right at the shirt.
Yeah, well, it's covered in blood, and, you know, it's great for the season, too, for Halloween, so.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
That
perfect
shit,
shirts, man.
Support it, you motherfuckers.
I'm dressing as you for Halloween this year, Fred.
Dress as me? Jesus Christ, you scare a lot of people if you do that.
They
gonna
be like,
who
you is? I'm Young Prez. I'm Young Prez this year for Halloween.
Young Prez. You know, but hey, we only speaking of Halloween, I should go as Donald Trump. But speaking of Halloween,
that means you put on clown makeup.
yeah, basically. Clown, because he is orange. He looks like Cookie the Clown, man. You just remove that hairpiece he has on. He looked like Cookie the fucking Clown. With his little fucking hands. You could put those little gloves on over his hands, put some suspenders on him. They got to put no makeup on that motherfucker. He's naturally orange. You know what I'm saying? Naturally orange.
Sunny looking motherfucker.
Oh, and hey, for everybody out there, Velvet Rose, you know what I'm saying, a longtime co-host here at UGS for Life Online Radio, Underground Saturday Nights, and follow her on Twitter, OMG Velvet Rose. Make sure to follow her. She's got thousands of people following her because, you know what, she was one of the hottest, still is one of the hottest, but I mean, when she was acting, one of the hottest porn stars on the planet. She's made a lot of lists. She was nominated for Porn Star of the Year, Actress of the Year Award, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you can check her out, you know what I'm saying? Follow her on Twitter. She has all kinds of different, you know what I'm saying, services online. Check her out, you know what I'm saying? For you motherfuckers who like to get your freak on. But at the same token, come at her with some goddamn respect because she's definitely part of UGS, you know what I'm saying? So pay the woman her proper respects. Other than that, man, what's going on with you, Mac? How you doing?
Man, like I said, Prez, man, ever since Saturday night, man, if they was listening to Underground Saturday Nights, they already know what we was on. Shit, I was damn near, you know, I didn't remember I kept telling you I wasn't nervous about the game until they was already up 5-0 and it was getting closer and closer to it. I started getting nervous, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't fuck this up, you know what I'm saying? Like, one of them type of nervousness. But I wasn't nervous going in the game, but since the Cubs won, man, I've been on a whole different cloud, man, because it means something to a whole lot of us. Like, one of the last conversations I had with my dad, the actual last conversation I talked to him, we was talking about that in February because it was just the start of spring training. So to see them win, man, it made me feel good. It was kind of bittersweet, but at the same time, it's like, man, my old dude left earlier this year, but fuck, he's seeing this shit. You know what I'm saying? Made me feel like he had something to do with it almost to a certain extent. Give us a reason to smile. So this week, so far, the start of my week, man, I've been smiling because of the fucking Cubs, man. I'm damn sure ain't smiling because of the Bears. Bears are some fucking... I ain't even going to get into them, but I'm anxious for tomorrow. I never experienced world. And being here in St. Louis, I got to see everybody else with the World Series shit a couple times. But nah, it's us, man. Win that shit for the city. The city of Chicago been bleeding for a long time. And Cleveland, too. So no disrespect to Cleveland. If they win, it's good for their city, too. But, man, fuck Cleveland, man. It's time for the Shy to get something, man.
Yeah.
Fuck that. You know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. You know, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. This is our year. You know what I'm saying? It's the best team in baseball. Consistently all year long, all throughout the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? They only had a couple games where they ran into some problems. Other than that, they were just phenomenal. Making plays.
Yeah, it ain't going to be easy. They working for it. Yep.
I mean,
they working for it.
Man, fucking Javi stole home. This motherfucker stole home successfully. First guy to do it in over 100 years. You know what I'm saying? So many firsts in 100 years. Tomorrow, you posted this. Fowler is going to be the first black guy to start for the Cubs in the history of the World Series.
The only reason why I posted that is just to get dialogue from people and see what they felt about it. But for real, to me, it's like that's another bittersweet thing. It's like if you look at it, so some people say, well, the Cubs ain't been since 71 years ago. So, like, in the 40s or whatever. But they ain't won since 07. I said, but you got to realize they weren't even letting black people play the last time the Cubs was in the World Series.
Robinson came in a couple years later, yeah
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so, like, some of them records I don't even count for real because it wasn't an even playing field anyway. But it just go to show you that some kids, because basically they kids, get out there on that motherfucking field and bring joy to a whole lot of people that's going through a whole bunch of shit. How many people thinking about how they folks never seen the Cubs make it? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
and, you know, it just brings back good memories for a lot of people.
When you clinched, when they clinched the other night, they didn't leave. They stayed there. Pete Rose, Alex Rodriguez, and Frank Thomas, they could not leave. You know, they were outside, you know, commentating. They were stuck there. You can't leave.
Yeah.
That's the most, I would say, the most diehard fans in all of baseball. And they don't have the rings that the Yankees have or the Cardinals or these other fucking teams, but they got the heart that fucking none of them have. And it's real talk.
Right.
Because we don't abandon them like everybody, these bandwagon fans do to when their teams lose. They go and abandon them and then they go jump on some other team's nuts. Nah, that ain't what it is. But
we've been screaming Cubs with 100 lost seasons. I'll be screaming, go Cubs, go.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, because
I represent that shit.
It's gonna happen. But also, man, at the end of this month, we've been trying to get him on the show. K-Reno was going to come on this week, but I ain't heard back from him. He's been very busy doing his thing. And while he's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing. So I had to schedule other shows like Slang tonight, DJ Paul tomorrow, Al Capone Friday. But we're going to try to have Kay Reader on here in the future because we need to showcase the 7 albums that this man has put
right out,
which is
some nice artwork he got, too, for him, too. I still can't believe that. And like I said, Perez, like, Kay Reno ain't never came out with no slack shit anyway, like, just when he dropping one album. So just imagine 7 of them, like, where to begin at, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how I'm going to listen to all of them. I don't even know yet. I've been thinking about that shit.
Yeah.
Am I going to listen to the one with the nicest looking cover to me, or am I going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know they all themed albums, too.
Yeah, his, but every one of the albums, you know, they're going to have all kinds of different tracks that take you to different places. Like this, the last album, Making Enemies, he had this song, I forget the title of it, but the whole song, you thought it was these two dudes trying to escape. They were in prison somewhere.
Yeah.
They're beating the shit out of each other and everything and choking each other. And they
sound like a movie.
Hear noises outside. Come to find out, they were twins inside of a womb. And the voices outside was a doctor. The way this guy's story tells is just unfucking believable.
Yeah,
so,
that's a cold-ass song, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first time I heard it, I didn't know where he was going with it. I was waiting. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when you know a motherfucker cold, man. When they could tell you a story and you could visualize it as you hearing it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Coming up in April, I believe. It's either April or May. But 5 years, we're going to be celebrating our fifth-year anniversary. And it's one of the songs that go back all the way to the beginning. Major Label Haters by Wicked Vendetta. This is for you, seed-sipping, motherfucking, period blood-drinking, faggot-swagget rappers with ADD, DDD, dumb motherfucking, mumble motherfuckers. Major Label Haters by Wicked Vendetta. We'll see you guys later. Murder Master Music Show, UGSForLife.com. You bitches.
It's your man Thirsty House Shoes, Mr. Fucking House Shoes to you bitches. This is for all the motherfucking corporate CEOs, Fortune 500 ass motherfucking CEOs you never see that's making money off this hip hop shit. You know who the fuck you are. motherfucker. So I offer you another nut martini with some period blood for your bitch. Fuck the major labels and the A&Rs. I'm independent, bitch, and I was born a star. Sure who I am, do you know who you are? Motherfuckers should be locked behind bars. Stealing every dime through industry history. Fuck your chance advancing, deal 360. What the business is missing is me. I'm independent and that's the shit to me. The major label hater, that's who I be. Fuck MTV and BET. Them dirty dick suckers playing for the same team. I send nuts to your sluts cause you ain't pimping me. You won't get one cent of my cream. I'm online and DVD, TV screens. Wanna use them seeds and make us walk the line. I'm independent and that's what I define, bitch. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck them in the ass, see you bitches later. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck y'all, we greater. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck them in the ass, see you bitches later. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck y'all, we greater. Fuck Oprah and Cosby. Y'all eat shit cause y'all shit is sloppy. I'm like Rocky, you can't stop me. I'm too cocky, so how could it not be? I keep a 9-to-5 to legally survive. The fake Jews and broads are all lies. Rappers stand up, where the fuck is your pride? And the phone only rings cause you've yet to sign. Unknown today, but tomorrow you're hot. And by the end of the week, your whole career's forgotten. They telling you, you was gonna blow up the spot. But they forgot to tell you that you'd owe them a lot. See the advance you got. In the video shop, the magazines for teens, in the radio spots. Had you thinking that you would blow up for sure, but you gotta pay them for the promo tour. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck them in the ass, see you bitches later. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck y'all, we greater. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck them in the ass, see you bitches later. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck y'all, we greater.
Not major indie, so don't offend me. But all dressed up like assembly. With a big fan like the Kennedys. And when I'm done, you'll remember me. Hustle hard by any means. Hate the machine like my nigga Beans. Go against the giant, so defiant. Since the shorty, been self-reliant.
Harder working motherfuckers in the game you can't find.
You getting scraped up to get your cake up. But it's too easy, y'all better wake up. Indy 500 in the fast lane. Y'all Parker brother niggas run the board game. I burn your house, you try to burn me. That's why those deals don't concern me. Getting money on my journey. You can't judge me, no attorney.
Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck them in the ass, see you bitches later. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck y'all, we greater. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck them in the ass, see you bitches later. Fuck a major label, I'm a major label hater. Fuck y'all, we greater. Like I told you motherfuckers, this is for all the motherfuckers in the suites. Don't touch the fucking streets. But using all these motherfucking artists to fucking eat, they pimping these motherfucking kids, man. And this shit is ridiculous. IMF is in the building. We don't have that shit over here. And you motherfucking rappers better smarten the fuck up too. Learn the business.